yourself of the promise. Forever you are faithful. Forever you are strong. Forever you are with us. Forever and ever. Forever you are faithful, forever you are strong, forever you are with us, forever.
Father in heaven, give you praise. We thank you that you are the God of forever. We thank you, Lord, your goodness, your mercy, your graciousness, your care for us, your great care. Lord, I thank you in this place today. You demonstrate your goodness, demonstrate your power, demonstrate your love. Every life changed by your power, transformed, Father. We walk out of here better in the name of Jesus. So thank you, Lord. I thank you for boldness today. I thank you for utterance, clarity of speech. Yield myself to the Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you for this congregation. They are hearers of the word, doers of the word, that they respond to the Spirit of God. And because of that, they're blessed. Thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Well, we're continuing with the seven big habits for explosive personal growth. Who wants some explosive personal growth? Doesn't that sound good? And our foundation scripture is in Acts chapter 2. You can turn there. Of course, a habit is something that becomes a part of our lives. It's an action. It's something we do almost without thinking. And of course, we know there's good habits and bad habits. And we've been having some folks do Team Lean this year with the Y and hopefully picking up some good habits or, you know, doing some things in a better way. And instead of just watching TV all day long, maybe putting a workout or two in there. Eating better. Instead of eating junk, eating better. So hopefully when we pick up a new habit, we let go of something that's not as good. And God's got some habits, some habits for us, some spiritual habits, some spiritual disciplines that will produce good things in our lives. It'll produce something better. And so let's turn to Acts chapter 2, or in verse 42, and it says this, "And they continued," talking about the believers, "continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all, as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Alrighty, the first big habit, anybody remember what that was?
Fellowship.
How about the second one?
Renewing your mind.
What did we talk about last week?
Speaking the word.
And so the fourth big habit is found in that verse 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. So the fourth big habit is prayer. Everybody say prayer.
Prayer.
Everybody say prayer is important. If you have your Bible, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. This is the Apostle Paul writing this letter. He's writing to Timothy, who was a pastor. Timothy ended up pastoring a very large church, several hundred thousand people. It's a pretty good-sized church. And Paul is writing to him, giving him advice, trying to help him in ministry, help him with issues. And, you know, anytime you have more than one person getting together, there's going to be problems. And so Paul's trying to help Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says, "Therefore I exhort, first of all." So there's a lot of things he could say, but he said, "First of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence." And so he's encouraging Timothy, first of all, exhorting him, encouraging him to pray. And let's just talk about prayer for a minute. What is prayer? And we've said this many times, that prayer is talking to God. And that's correct. Prayer is talking to God. But it's a little more to it than just talking to God or having a conversation with God. You're talking to God about certain things. And you're talking to Him in a certain manner. And when it's prayer, it's talking to God about bringing His will from heaven to the earth. So something specifically you're trying to accomplish. You're trying to bring God's plan to the earth. Now, there's a lot of things about prayer we could talk about. Of course, we can't get in all today, and this is not a series on prayer. But the Bible talks about who we should address our prayer to. The Bible says we should pray to the Father. It says we can talk to Jesus, we can talk to the Holy Spirit, but we don't pray to angels, we don't pray to Jesus, we don't pray to the Holy Spirit, we pray to the Father, we pray to God. And then in whose name do we pray? The Bible says to pray in the name of Jesus. You don't pray in your name, don't pray in the pastor's name, and a priest's name, or any kind of person. The Bible says to pray in the name of Jesus. And we don't end our prayer with, "If it be thy will." Some people pray that. And if you end your prayer with that, you're most likely nullifying everything you've just prayed. There was only one time where they prayed, "If it be thy will," and that was Jesus in the garden, and he was praying about God's specific plan for him. And so he said, "Not my will be done, but your will be done." And that's the only time. We call that a prayer of consecration, is when we pray that. So we pray to the Father. We pray in the name of Jesus. Because I don't know about you, but when I pray, I want to get results. I want to pray, you know, according to God's way, and God's got a way of doing things. And I want to know what that way is, and I want to be able to get results when I pray. How about you? So on what basis or foundation do we pray? Well, we pray by faith. Hebrews chapter 11, you're all looking just so comfortable down there, I have to walk down here. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, it's impossible to please him without faith. That's right. So, and those that come to him in faith, it says he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So it's going to be no different for prayer, that if we're going to pray, it has to be in faith.
Amen.
If it's not in faith, he's not going to hear us. He's not going to respond. So for wanting him to respond to our prayers, we're going to pray in faith. Now, how does faith come to the believer? We're having Word 101 today. Romans chapter 10 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Right? Everybody know that? So if we want faith produced in our lives, we have to put the Word of God. Feed on God's Word. And as you do that, and as you meditate on it, as you dwell upon it, talk it produces something called faith. All righty. Faith begins where the will of God is known. What is the will of God? His Word. So we like to say this about our prayers. We launch. Anybody here work for NASA? You got an uncle that does. Well, here at Good News Church, we launch our prayers from the platform of God's Word. Did you catch that? So we're not just praying and asking God for anything. We're praying according to the Word of God. And so I like to, when I pray, I like to load myself up with God's Word before I pray. And if I know I'm praying according to faith, I know He's going to hear me.
Amen.
And I know that what I ask Him is going to bring results.
That's right.
All right, so we're praying to the Father in the name of Jesus. We're coming to Him in faith. We're launching our prayers based on God's Word. And another good thing about prayer, there's no distance in prayer. Meaning, Eric here could be over in Africa, and I could just as easy pray for him here or pray for him over there. The power of our words and the power of our prayers, there's no distance. And I can pray anytime. I don't have to be just in church. I don't have to be in my prayer closet. I can pray as I'm driving. I can pray at work. I can pray while I'm cleaning. I can pray wherever I am. 24/7, any time of the day. I could be praying and on the way to work and pray things that could change the world.
That's right.
Amen? Amen. So over here in 1 Timothy 2 says, therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men. So there's various types of prayers. There's the prayer of faith. There's intercession. There's praying in the Spirit. There's supplication. So there's various types of prayers, and we're not going to go into those types of prayers, but we need to know that, and we need to know the rules for the various types of prayer. Now, Eric, do you like sports?
Love them.
What's your favorite sport?
All of them.
All of them, okay. But let me ask you this, and it may work for you, but for most people it won't. When you're playing baseball, can you play with football rules?
No.
That'd be crazy. That'd be chaos. Yeah. So there's certain rules that we have to follow. When we're playing baseball, we play by baseball rules.
Right.
Playing football, we play by football rules. And so just like with prayer, there's various types of prayer, and we have to know the rules of the different different prayers in order to be effective. Are you learning anything today?
Yes.
John Wesley, great minister, said this. It says, it seems God is limited by our prayer life, that He can do nothing for humanity unless someone asks Him. I'm going to read that last part again. Talking about God. He can do nothing for humanity unless someone asks Him. And see, this is something about prayer. Everyone has to, you have to know this. And you have to understand this, otherwise you're not going to be effective in prayer.
That's right.
Because most people think that God can do whatever He wants in the earth. That's wrong. That's wrong. And I'm going to tell you why here in just a second. That we just think, well, if God wants this done, then He'll just do it. But let me ask you a question. God desires all men to be saved. There's 6 billion people, right, Rick? Over 6 billion people in the earth. Absolutely. Now, are all of those people saved?
No, not even close.
Well, it's God's will. If he can just do whatever he wants, why can't he just make everybody saved? God talks about tithing and giving. Does everybody give? Well, why is that? Well, I mean, he can do whatever he wants to do. Now, talk about the scriptures. God wants people healed. Is that in the Bible? In the scriptures? Is it clear that God wants us healed? Well, why isn't everybody healed? That means his will's not fully being done in the earth. Well, does he just play favorites then? He's got certain favorite people that he wants to do things for? Well, the reason why these things aren't happening for everybody is because God can't override our will. God just can't do whatever he wants to in the earth. He must be given permission by a person that's here on the earth. What? Giving God permission? What are you talking about? He's God. He's the creator of the universe. He can just do anything. Well, yes, he can do anything, but the way he set it up, there's laws. He set it up this way. And he gave man authority.
That's right.
And he can only do things in the earth if someone down here will cooperate with him. And this just sounds weird, but permit him to do it. And that shows you how powerful prayer can be, that God can't bring healing to the earth unless we let him. God can't bring provision. God can't save people unless there's people down here that will allow him and cooperate with him to do that. That's just the way God is. He's not going to override our will. So do we realize how much power and authority we have? The scripture says we have not because we ask not. You know, so many times we're waiting on God, but you know how it really is? He's waiting on us. In the Bible, there's all these promises that he's wanting for us to have. And what we have to do as believers is we have to learn skillfully how to get these promises out of this book and into our lives. And one of the ways we can do that is through prayer. And so when I go to pray, I like to load my prayer gun with the Word. Load it with the Word. First of all, it produces faith. So when I go boldly to the throne, I'm praying with confidence. And next, I know I'm praying according to his will because his word is his will. So that gives me confidence in what I'm asking. I'm not asking him for just anything that I want. I'm asking him for things he's already promised. So my job as a believer is to bring heaven to earth. And we do that through our words. Last week, you need to get the CD from last week about speaking the word.
Amen.
And when you learn and skillful in this, you'll learn when to pray and when to speak the word of God. Because there's times you don't even need to pray. You just need to command it according to the word. Tilt. See, we don't realize the authority that we have. There's times we don't need to pray. He's already said it. We just need to speak it and call it into being.
Amen.
But as people of prayer, the Bible says we're joint heirs with Jesus. We're co-laborers. We're God's partners. We're sons and daughters. We're his ambassadors. We represent God here on the earth. Is there anybody here today? Y'all gone home or?
I'm here.
You're here. Amen. Turn over to James chapter 5. James chapter 5, verse 16. Trying to stir you up about prayer. Stir you about the promises of God. You can change your world. You can change your life by the words coming out of your mouth and what you say. And this world will be better because you're there. James chapter 5, verse 16. It says, I'm reading this from the Amplified. It says, confess to one another your faults. All right, let's just go ahead and do that. Who's first? Nate? No. Confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses. That'd be an interesting service, wouldn't it? Let's just all share our offenses. Your sins. Oh, wouldn't that be fun? And pray also one for another that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man. Do I have any righteous people in here today? Well, how do I know if I'm righteous? Well, if you're a believer, it says that we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. Not, we don't have to earn it. You've been made that. So we're talking about you. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. Dynamic. Sounds like dynamite.
Yep.
That's right.
Yeah.
Sounds explosive to me. In its working. Sometimes we just feel so helpless. And that's the way the enemy wants us to feel, is helpless. Like we've got no power, we have no authority. But see, in Christ, we've been made a new creation. In Christ, we've been given authority. In Christ, we've been given power to change things. And we could pray about our city, and we can pray about our families, and we could pray about our finances, we can pray about health and healing, we could pray about our job, we could pray about our government. Dear God, Lord knows they need prayer.
Amen.
Yes.
But no, we want a gripe. Now, let me ask you this question. All your griping, where has it got you? Has your griping changed our government? Oh, they're griping in Georgia again. Let's go ahead and make changes. It's just multiplied a million times over. It just gets worse. We're actually using our words to hurt ourselves. That sounds like a bad habit. But we need to change that and use our words for good. And maybe what we need to do is go to the Word and find out what the Word of God says about our government and maybe start saying those things. It said over in 1 Timothy 2, pray for those in authority. It doesn't say criticize them. You can go ahead and say amen, or you can say ouch.
Amen.
Whichever. It says, pray for those in authority. And what does it promise us if we do that? We will live a quiet and peaceable life. Is that, who wants that? All right, I'm going to go ahead and help you here before we close the service today. Anybody have someone they know that they're believing God for to be saved? I mean, what would you pay to see them saved? How much would it be worth to you to know they're going to heaven when they die? To know they're in God's family? I mean, you'd do anything. Well, there's some things we can pray about that can bring change in people's lives.
Right.
And so one of the first things we do, we talked about this, let's go to the Word. Let's go ahead and load our gun, our faith gun, and then we'll pray before the end of the service. We'll pray for them, okay?
Amen.
Should we do that? Sure. All right, first bullet I want to put in your gun. Turn over to Matthew chapter 9. So whenever I'm building my case, I go to the Word. Whenever a lawyer is building their case, they go to the law and they add it to their file. And they're getting ready to go to court. And they want to have a firm footing for their case. So this is what we're doing. Matthew chapter 9. Verse 35, it says, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd." Well, I see that everywhere today. "Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest.'"
Yes. Amen.
All right, I got something I can pray here. Pray for laborers. All right, put that in your file, okay? Remember that now.
Yes.
I'll just read this, Romans chapter 10, verse 14. We're learning how to pray for the lost. Romans 10, verse 14. "How can they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" So I want this person to have a laborer come across their path, but they have to say something. They have to bring the gospel. So, okay, it's not just a laborer. They got you to actually bring the gospel. So I'm adding that to my case. All right, let's keep on going. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. "Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" All righty. I want my laborer to come across their path. I want him to bring the gospel, and I want him to bring the good news. I don't want him bringing condemnation. Condemnation has turned off so many people, they don't even want to listen anymore. It says the goodness of God. It doesn't say the badness, the judging power of God. It says the goodness of God leads man to repentance.
That's right.
So we want laborers that have the gospel, that preach the good news. All right, I'm going to give you now the humdinger of all scriptures for praying for the lost. Are you ready for it? Who wants it? All right. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And this scripture may just cause you to shout. And you have my permission to shout in church. Or you may want to just jump up and go, "Woo!" That woke somebody up. All right, here we go. Are y'all ready for this? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age." Who's that talking about? You notice it says little g. The Bible says Satan is the little g god of this world. So it's talking about the enemy. "The god of this age has blinded who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine on them." Now let me ask you this. If you're driving down I-20, what's the speed limit? 70? 80? 70.
65.
Thank you. 50. All right. You're driving 35. No. But let's just say the speed limit is 65, and you're driving along I-20, and you're going to cross, you know, from Carolina into Georgia, and you know you use a bridge, right? And you saw this big sign, blinking red sign that says, "Danger, the bridge is out." What would you do? Start going faster? Duh! What are you going to do? You're going to stop because the sign says the bridge is out. Now, the only reason that you wouldn't stop is if you were under the influence of something. Budweiser. Some kind of drug. And you may see the sign and just laugh at the sign and keep on driving to your doom. Well, let me ask you, if you saw that same sign that says hell 50 yards ahead, would you keep driving? And that's the case with us. I mean, God's talked to us about hell. So the only reason why we wouldn't heed his warning, and he's saying, stop, hell is just down there. Stop, don't go any further. The only reason why you wouldn't heed his warning is if you were under the influence. Under the influence of the enemy. And the scripture says that he's blinded people. There's a veil. Is they don't see. If they saw it, they'd accept God's blessings.
Right.
But they're blinded. There's a veil. Now, how many know as believers we've got authority over the devil?
Yes.
How many know that Jesus defeated the devil 2,000 years ago?
Yes.
He's already defeated the devil. We don't need to defeat him again. We just need to enforce our covenant.
That's right. That's right.
So one of the things that we have to do when we're praying for lost people, we need to command the devil to take his hands off God's property and to remove those blinders so that they can see the gospel.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Remove the blinders. So that they can see and they could be saved. All right, so here's an example of a prayer we could pray. Father in heaven, I command the blinders that are keeping, fill in the blank, I command the blinders that are keeping so-and-so from seeing you to be removed. Devil, take your hands off God's property. I pray you bring laborers across their path, that they would minister the good news to them and not condemnation.
Amen.
That they would hear the gospel and respond. Show me how to love them properly, for I know that love never fails. Open their eyes to see you as you really are, that they may be transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. I claim so-and-so for the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus. Now I tell you, when you pray that according to the word, you expect it to happen. As opposed to, I'm rolling the dice, God save so-and-so. Well, what am I basing that on? He wants to save him.
That's right.
I've got to give him permission. I got to give him authorization. And I'm going to tell that stinking, lousy devil to take his hands off my friend or the person I'm praying for. Everybody stand right now. Should we go ahead and do that for somebody today? You got anybody that you'd like to pray that for?
Yes.
And I'm expecting every person that we pray for and speak over today is going to be saved.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'll lead us. You all pray from your heart. You put fill in the blank. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your word. Your word is true. Now, right now, I take authority over the devil. You take your hands off God's property. Blinders be removed right now in Jesus' name. The veil is removed. And now they can see. Father, bring laborers across their path.
Bring in good news.
Bring in love and compassion.
Bring
in the gospel. And Father, I pray they'll respond. And make Jesus the Lord of their lives. And go to heaven when they die. And live an abundant life here on the earth. I call them free in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just give Him praise. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. You may be seated. What do we want our laborers to share with our lost folks, friends, and loved ones? The gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is so simple. Religion makes it complicated. But there's four really easy, small parts to the gospel. The first part is God loves us. He loves us. He's for us. He's a loving, caring Father, despite what religion has said. He loves us. He wants the best. He's not trying to hurt. He's trying to help. He loves each one of us. He's not mad at us. Second part of the gospel is, man is a sinner. We were born into that because of what Satan did, what Adam did in the garden, bowed his knee to Satan. We were born dead to God. And if it continues on and we die in our sins, hell is where we're going. It's not God's will, it's not God's plan, but it's because of our sin. So we have God's love, man's sin, then we have God's response to man's sin. And what was God's response to man's sin?
Jesus.
That Jesus came to live and to die on the cross, and He was raised on the third day for us to pay the price, to remove the sin barrier between us and God so that we can enter into God's family. And He did that willingly. And God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's His heart.
Yes.
Gave His best. So God's love, man's sin, God's response. And now what's man's response to God's love? To receive Jesus as our Lord. To call upon Him. To call upon the name of Jesus. And when we'll do that, the Bible says, if we'll believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead and we'll confess Him as the Lord, the Bible says we'll be saved. We can know for sure that when we die, we're going to heaven.
Yes.
But it's just not that. If that was all there was, that would be awesome. But He promises us here on the earth an abundant life, a life overflowing with good things. And all of that happens the moment we call upon Jesus. That's the good news. That's what we need to be sharing with people. And I'm praying for boldness for you, for each one of us, to do that because it's a hurting sick world. It's a dark world out there without hope. And we've got a hope. His name is Jesus.
Amen.
And He is alive and well and working in the earth today. The same things He did back in the gospel, He's doing through His body. Now, every head bowed, please. Every eye closed. I may be a laborer sent by God just for you today in an answer to someone's prayers for you. But if you're here today and you don't know where you're going to spend eternity, you don't know if you're a child of God, you don't know if you're in God's family, I want you to walk out of here with confidence knowing that you are and knowing that you can be saved and that heaven is your home. It's you know, going to church and praying and reading your Bible, those are all good things, but they cannot earn salvation. Salvation is a matter of us receiving what He's offering. We can't earn it. None of us are good enough to earn it. Go ahead and receive it. And so if you're here today and you say, "Yes, Pastor, I want that. I want the gift of salvation. I want to know that I'm saved. I want to know I'm in God's family." If that's you, just be bold. Be bold in the name of Jesus and raise your hand and say, "Yes, Pastor, I want that. I want heaven. I want Jesus." If that's you, lift your hand and hold it high. Praise God. Ushers, you helping? Anybody? You see anybody? Praise God. You can look at me. We love you. We're for you. We just want to make sure you know this Jesus. He's real. He's alive. He's